This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Tazria. And the Mishnah, the Torah begins by telling us that when a woman becomes a Yoledis, when she gives birth to a baby, she'll be a Tamea Leda for 7 days. Like the days of Anida, she should be Tamea. So why is the term Tuma applicable to the concept of the conceiving mother? How does the two terms fit? Rav Amital Zatzal, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, noted that through the idea of Tuma, the Torah is teaching us that the fact that the sexual urge is natural doesn't mean that it's inherently a positive force. That is to say, that it entails impurity, and it must be corrected through bris milah, through circumcision. And so we have seen that the impurity of Nida arises as a result of potential life that is not realized. We have to keep that medicine in mind. A person who fails to realize his inborn potential is sinning and bringing impurity upon himself. A person must not only distance himself from sin, he has to use all of his powers to perfect his personality and his character. So a person who fails to strive and work to perfect himself is committing a sin. This is Rav Amital's understanding. But for a person who is brought into this world and doesn't fulfill potential, there's a vacuum, there's a tumma there. We're told that one of the things that has to be happened at the end of the bringing of the karban is v'mlosi mei tara lebeinu lebas, tavi keves ben shnaso liyola ben yona utor lechatas. Person has to bring a turtle dove as a chatas. And what's the purpose of this chatas? So Nechama Leibovich, Zichrona Levracha, suggested that when a woman has given birth and has experienced the closeness with her Creator in the process, and now after birth is aware of her smallness in contrast to Hashem's ability to create, she feels the urge to bring a chatas on that realization and appreciating the gap in creative ability. This is the basis of the chatas. It's not necessarily on the basis of a sin, but rather on the awareness of smallness that sin brings about. And so in this regard, even though there is no smallness, there is a sense of awareness in this regard. Then we turn to the bulk of the Parsha. And in the bulk of the Parsha, we spend a lot of time focusing on the different types of tumos that come out through a process of tzaras. Adam kieva orbisaro se'eso sapacha so bahera. So Rav Nosson Tzvi Wachvogel, the great Mashgiach of Lakewood Yeshiva, noted that there's a commonality in the seven things that cause negayim. They all lead a person to decide not to be a fair partner with the world. And so as a result, the person thinks that everything in the world is his, and others lack value in his life. And so thus, the person who speaks badly about others, the one who doesn't lend to them, all of them, etc., he or she can only see that which is his, and all in his mind is his. And that's the tsar ayin that we talk about, the limit that comes about when a person becomes a mitzora. We're told also that in different types of tzaras, but if kulo hafach lavan tahorho, if it all turns white, we are told in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, that the person is tahor. Now, usually tumas tzaras is indicated on the body with a white color. So why then, if everything turns white, is the person going to be considered tahor? That sounds a little bit odd, right? If anything, if everything turns white, then the person should be certainly tameh. So Rishim Shin David Pinkus Atzal explained that like with the situation when setting a siege on a city, where we're obligated to leave one side open so that the people can retreat, and if we don't, Hashem will be upset with us and side with the helpless, the mitzvah who's totally tameh also has no recourse, and we allow him to be tameh since Hashem is watching out for him too. And that's what the Torah tells us afterwards, that after the person is identified as a tameh, that he has to run out of the city, v'tamei, tamei yikra. He has to go out and call himself tamei. Now Rashi explains that he needed to say that he was tamei. The Gemara in Shabbos says he needed to tell people so that they would daven for him. So why does the Gemara come to that conclusion? Why would the Gemara say that he has to tell people and hope that they would daven for him? Maybe he needed to say that he was tamei so that people would stay away from him. So the late great Rav David Pavarsky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich Tzatzal, used to explain that if that was the reason, he would call to the people not to become tameh. By drawing attention to his own tameh status, he was really letting the people know that he was tameh and that they could keep him in their tefilos in the interim. We're also told that what? Badad Yeshev, he would sit alone. The Torah tells us in the next pasuk, Mechutz L'machaneh Moshavo, And Rashi explains that he sits alone because that's where he inspired others, by splitting apart husbands and wives and friends and neighbors. Rabbi Avram Yaffin, the late Navardikar Rosh Hashiva, used to explain that by nature we're designated to be separatists. Normally that trait is utilized to separate from unnecessary physical desire. However, if we don't use the nature that way, we'll become separated in the manner of the Metzorah, who is separated against his will. But we have to learn when we're supposed to make separations and distinctions, and when we are supposed to put things together. Which brings us towards the end of the parasha, where we're told, Zos Toras Nega Taras. This is the Torah of the Nega Taras Letaro O Letamo, for Tuma or Tara. Now the Torah's Kohanim learns that it's a mitzvah to both be Metar and Metame Negaim. Yet we don't do that today. So the Chafetz Chaim suggests that perhaps the reason for that, the fact that we don't judge Tzaras today, is the following. Since we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash and we can't bring Karbanos, and as such we wouldn't be able to complete the Tara process once the Tzaras clears up, we have no right in the first place to declare an individual Tame. So Rosh Hashanah learns a valuable lesson from here, namely that purifying oneself from Tumah represents the idea of tshuva, of the idea of repentance, and we would only punish a sinner with the declaration of being a living gavra ktila, giving somebody the chance to know he's a dead man walking, if we see a chance for him to do tshuva. But if we don't think that's going to be accomplished, then the only result we can foresee is that those who are observant will simply become more anti-religious, then starting the process off is useless. Why would we make somebody further away? What are we hoping to gain within the process? Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told, we read the famous story about Naaman, who had Tzaras. And we're told that when he came and he decided to go ahead and repair himself, and he wanted to go ahead and have himself cured by the Jews, Vayikishmoa Elisha Isha Elokim Kikara Melech Yisrael Esbegadav, Vayishlach HaLamach Leimamor Lama Karata Begadecha. When Elisha heard that Naaman came and he insisted that he be cured of his Tzaras, so the king tore his clothes, didn't know how he was going to do that. And when Elisha, the man of Hashem, Vayikishmoa Elisha Isha Elokim, when he heard that the king tore his clothes, he sent a message to the king and asked, "Why did you tear your clothes?" Now, why does the text highlight that Elisha was Isha Elokim over here? What's the message over here? So Rav Tzvi Svigar, who's a Rebbe in Yeshivat Bnei Akiva Netanya, he posited that it's unlikely that the king tore his clothes in public, as that would demonstrate a lack of respect for the kingdom. That's a lack of Kavod Shamayim, and Kavod HaMalchus. And so hence, it's likely that he tore his clothes in private. And so then, the only way that Elisha could have known about that tearing was because he was a Nabi and he had divine awareness of what was happening. You think you can hide everything when you're a king? You think that you're entitled to privacy? It is not the case. A Nabi is given insight so that you can certainly hide things from the world, but from the Spirit of Hashem, there's no way and no place to hide. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us a wonderful Shabbos and make sure that we see Melo Chola Aretz Kvodo, Shabbat Shalom to all.